We go to the Rivertown Hotline, former Penguin skater and coach, now with NBC and Versus. Eddie Olczyk, how you doing, Eddie?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you?
Doing well. A lot of excitement in these parts for this upcoming Penguin season.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, and that's even without Sidney Crosby, although I think the belief is that he's going to be back sooner rather than later. It seems to be momentum going that way. How excited should everybody be in these parts with the Penguin season?
Well, I think with what happened, the last half of the regular season and, the belief and the excitement level of being able to have great success without, your two best players as far as skater-wise, I think that bodes well for moving forward and all that, they can compete and they can, be one of the elite teams in the National Hockey League. Now, when it gets to playoff time and you got a chance to put a team away, that's where you look to your difference makers. That's where you look to your guys that are the best to be able to put a team out of their misery and not give them any belief in life. And everybody knows what happens. So I think that rightfully so, that confidence that they think that within the team was able to perform that without their two best players and go from there. So I think the excitement level should be amped up, and I think that rightfully so. The Penguins are, one of the top two teams that a lot of people are picking to come out of the Eastern Conference to get to the final.
Edzo, Joe Starkey here. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, what's up, Joe?
Wanted to know what you thought of the Penguins on the wings, especially the addition of Steve Sullivan.
Yeah. Well, I played with Sully a long time ago, so I guess that really shows how old I am when Sully's still playing in the league. So, I think he's going to bring a dimension. I like the chemistry he had with Malkin the other night in the game in Chicago, Steve's first game back since hurting his groin during training camp. He has the ability to find pucks. He gets in behind defensemen. I think what's going to really help him is coming out of the Western Conference. If he can stay healthy, he's always been a quick, elusive guy, Joe. He will find that the Eastern Conference is a little bit slower overall than the Western Conference, and I think that's going to really help Steve Sullivan. He is going to look really quick against some teams in the Eastern Conference. We know he's not a big guy, but I think that he's going to have a really, really good year. I had a chance to talk to Ray Sherrill in Chicago before the game the other night, the exhibition game, and just talked about, how he's fit in. And obviously, they have a relationship from their days in Nashville. So familiarity is there, and I think that Steve Sullivan is going to have a really good year. If he can get in that 22 to 25 range, which I believe he will, I think it will be very beneficial to him and the Penguins. But the one key guy to me is James Neal. I think he was a disappointment, obviously, last season. I think that he has the ability to be able to generate a lot more than he is and finish a lot more than he is, but will he be able to do that? And I think he might be, one of the biggest keys besides health and Sid coming back on this entire roster is can James Neal be the guy who the Penguins think, that he can be and should be? And, maybe he needs a full year, a training camp, all that kind of good stuff. So, but to me, I really think that, take everything equal, is that I think James Neal could be the kind of the domino that that pushes the Penguins over the top or, doesn't allow them to take that next step and get back to where they were a couple of years ago.
And I think they need Sullivan and Neal, maybe both on the power play. But, Edzo, how could it be that the Penguins have been so talented for so long and have underachieved so much on the power play? What needs to happen there?
Well, I guess I can just speak from experience as a coach and as a player. You always seem to blame the coaches all the time when the power play doesn't go very well. And, I think the one thing that I was a little bit surprised at, that there wasn't a lot of change made over, especially late in the season or even the last half of the season with their power play and then, into the playoffs. Sometimes when you do have so much skill and you have everybody in the lineup, sometimes, I think it's almost better, Joe, to maybe you split up your big guys. You go to two units and you don't load up and go up against the team's top D-man and top forward penalty killers. I think, I know Danny's tried everything. They've changed, some stuff, but over the course of time you do because you are struggling. But it's something that, it's hard to put a finger on is why a team has really struggled as much as the Penguins have consistently over the last couple of seasons as far as number-wise. I will say this, and I've seen this around the National Hockey League a lot, Joe, is that I think the amount of per-minute elite players are staying on a power play, especially forwards, is way too long. Like, I mean, I'm talking when you got guys that are playing a minute and 25, a minute and 30 seconds on power plays. I believe it was Brad Richards in Dallas last year and Alexander Ovechkin were the ice time leaders when it comes to being out there for the majority of the power play. I think it's more the quality than the quantity, and it's hard. As a coach, it's hard to pull off. Just say example, you're talking about Pittsburgh or Chicago. I mean, Taves and Kane or Crosby and Malkin, to pull those guys off there after 58 seconds. Sometimes you got to do it because I don't think that the quality of time out there when these guys are out there, $1.25, $1.30, is really what it should be. There are very few guys that could stay out there the whole 2+, and he happened to have 6'6 on the back of his jersey. There weren't many guys that were better than him to be able to stay out there that long and still be as good in the first 10 seconds or the last 5 seconds of a power play.
Talking with Eddie Olczyk here with Seibel, Starkey, and Miller. Last I checked, Eddie, hockey players still don't have a chip in their heads. They have a brain. They're conditioned athletes. They're creatures of habit. That would include Matt Cook, who he has spoken about, and so too has Ray Shiro, about changes he's made in his style. What have you seen about his style, and how difficult is it for him to just change?
Well, once you get into heat of battle, then we'll have the opportunity to really assess. I think short-term and talking to the Penguins and hearing the comments from Matt Cook and also from Ray Shiro, there's no doubt there's a commitment to Matt by Matt Cook. I'm not sure if you guys got a chance to watch the broadcast the other night on the NHL Network. We did the game locally in Chicago and it was broadcast across the country. But I had showed a clip inside that game where Matt Cook had a chance to really drive through a player with his back to the ice, and he held up. Like, I mean, that's the kind of respect I think that is what is going on or what needs to go on a little bit more in a National Hockey League. And, look, I guess the best way to put it is that, you know, Matt Cook has been a guy that has been over the edge for a lot of his career in the National Hockey League. But actions speak louder than words, and I think, you know, all I can do is trust him for his word and to know that, yeah, things happen on a split second like you mentioned. But hopefully he will be able to play on the line, not come over it, and stay true to his word. But I think to this point, just, you know, the little that I've seen of Matt Cook and listened to him is that, I'm willing to give the guy the benefit of the doubt, even though a couple of times, especially one with Ryan McDonough last year, everybody remembers, certainly crossed the line, and you knew he had one thing in his mind, and that's what we're trying to get out of the league.
And Pittsburgh's number one pick with Joe Morrow, I thought he looked really good in preseason. I was wondering, and I understand it's preseason, I'm sure he has a lot to learn, but if you go with a guy, especially a defenseman, are guys in the locker room, do they look at him differently, say you didn't put your time in?
I don't believe so. This is a young man's game now. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of it has to do with dollars. It has a lot to do with contracts. It has a lot to do with, does a guy have waivers? And I was really, really impressed with Joel Morrow in watching games on television. I watched a game that the Penguins, it was on the NHL Network. I was listening to Staggy and to Bibbs. And, I mean, he was very impressive in that game. I think he might have had an assist, but just real active stick. I talked to Danny Bosma about him, and he really kind of felt that just nothing phases this kid. And, I thought maybe that they might give him a sniff here for a little bit of, the first part of the season. But, maybe back in the day, it's a fair question, very valid. I think maybe back in the day where, I lived it as an 18-year-old kid coming up to Chicago, and yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you had guys looking at you cross-eyed and, why aren't you going down or, those type of things. But it's a young man's game now, and I know money has a lot to do with it, but you got to get over it. You got to play, and everybody is there for one reason, A, to entertain, and B, is to win hockey games. And whoever the management staff believes to be there, you just go out there, he's your teammate, and you're going to be with him, whether he's played 500 games in the American League or he hasn't played a shift in the American League.
Edzo, arguably the biggest difference in the NHL this year's in the league office with Brendan Shanahan. He's now issuing tapes, disciplining players. Yeah. Do players have a better idea of what is above board and what is suspendable now?
I think it's a work in progress. I think that they are starting to understand. We all know, for the most part, the line when it's been crossed. When is somebody intentionally or targeting above the shoulders? I mean, we We all know that. I mean, we've been in the game. We understand that. And for what we're trying to educate the fans and you know, now being a part of the media, is to make sure that we understand is how do you, how do you not put yourself in that spot? How do you go by a guy, maybe he makes a move, you know he's going to beat you. How do you not reactionary stick up an arm or stick up an elbow and go? The game is so fast. I don't believe it's as black as in black and white as much as being led to believe. It's something that it happens so quick. Guys move. Guys try to get out of the way. If you're coming in, you're going to line up body on body, and all of a sudden a guy ducks out or ducks in, and you know you have such a great size difference too. I mean, it just takes a Daniel Chara. I mean, every time he hits somebody, I mean, he could hit somebody in the head. I mean, it just it's inevitable. So. Now, I'm hoping that the physical part of it doesn't, isn't taken away from the game, because I think we all appreciate good heavy hits and good clean hits. But I think we all know is when a guy purposely goes out and intentionally targets somebody. Like, I will say this, and I'll just use it as an example because we're talking to all the great people in the Berg, is that everybody remembers the hit Cook put on Ryan McDonough last year. Like, to me, if that is now, and obviously he's a repeat offender, I mean, I really think is that you're looking at maybe 40 games for something like that because of the intent. No disregard for the puck is not optional. And I think that's important for everybody to really understand. You can't hit anybody unless they have the puck. You got to get body on body. You got to keep your arms down and making sure that you're driving through the center of the body. There is going to be a time, and it happens in the National Football League, and we've seen what's happened there and the changes over the course of the last year with their rules. There's going to be a time where somebody lines somebody up. Brooks Orpik is going to line somebody up, and he's going to come through the middle of the ice, and Orp's going to step up, and he's going to drill the guy at center ice, and his shoulder is going to hit the guy right in the jaw, and unfortunately the player is going to be out, okay? That is not going to be, as long as he doesn't charge, he doesn't get the elbow up, that is not going to be a suspendable offense because it was a clean hit. The center of the hit was the body, the center of the body. So it's still a work in progress, but I get the feeling of watching exhibition games, and for what they are, I think guys are starting to understand, but I don't think we want to lose the contact, and I'm just hoping that the players will learn like they did coming out of the lockout with the hooking and holding and the obstructing.
Edzo, great stuff. Thanks for taking the time.
Okay, boys, say hi to everybody in the Berg for me.